Hi there, boys and girls. Welcome to the Children's Bible Club. It's good to have you with us today. Did you know that Jesus loves you? Those words are sometimes tossed about rather lightly these days, but don't take it lightly that he does love you. In fact, when he was here on earth quite a long time ago, some parents brought their children to him to have them bless him, and the children gathered round. His disciples wanted to shoo him away and not bother him. But Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." So don't ever run from Jesus. Come to him. Learn all you can about him. Trust him as your Savior from sin, and then live for him. Now, here's the choir and songs to tell you of his love. Choir? Thank you, choir. I'd like to invite all our listeners to visit our CBC website at www.childrensbibleclub.com. You'll find some delightful things there. You know, children, if you go to the beach, it's fun to see the tracks you make in the sand. And if you live where it snows, you know it's fun to make tracks in the snow. Others sometimes try to step in your tracks and follow you. There's an old Native American proverb that says, "We'll be known forever by the tracks we leave." How true. Tracks are telltale signs of where we've been. In my story of Lost in the Outback, old Mickey, the gnarled old Aboriginal tracker, was the only one who could follow the tracks of the missionary's little lost daughter through the thick outback bush and rescue her from the wild dingoes. Criminals can be traced by the tracks they leave, not only with their feet, but by other signs that the police recognize that lead them to their culprit. So it's not only sand or snow tracks you leave, but the tracks of your life, what you do, where you go, what your attitude is, and how you live your life. Proverbs 20:11 says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." Question is, are you leaving selfish, ungodly tracks, tracks made by a life you live for self and your pleasure? Or are they tracks that reveal a path of obedience and service to the Lord Jesus Christ and to others for his sake? Oh, I beg you to trust Christ as your Savior, and then pray and witness and give your time and energy to his service. There's a motto that says, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last." Keep your eyes on the Lord and on heaven. Live your life in the light of eternity. Is that too much for a child to understand? No, I find many children respond to the Lord's call on their lives and want to serve him. Oh, that we all may follow the Lord and leave godly track for others to follow. Now, here's the choir before story time.
Whose mind is set on thee.
Here's our story, A Disobedient King. How many times has your mom asked you if you finished a job and you answered, "Oh, I forgot"? Perhaps we forget things, but God never forgets. When the Israelites journeyed from Egypt to the Promised Land, the Amalekites in hatred fiercely fought against them. God gave Israel a great victory, but he said that he would remember the Amalekites' wickedness against his people and would blot out their remembrance from the earth. For a long time they seemed to get by with their evil deeds, but now, after 400 years, the gavel fell and God called in his promise. Now God had a job for Saul to do. Samuel gave Saul God's command to fight the Amalekites and to destroy them all men, women, children, and all their animals, leave not one alive. That was a hard assignment, but God never promised that doing right would be easy. The battle raged between King Saul and King Agag and their armies. At last, God gave Israel a great victory. All there was left to do was to finish the job as God commanded. A while later, God sent Samuel to check it out. Saul spotted him coming and hurried to meet him with a glowing report. "God bless you, Samuel. I have done all God commanded me to do." Then, in the distance, Samuel heard, "Moo, moo." That was strange. Then he heard, "Bah, bah." Samuel stopped short. "Saul," he said, "if you've done all that God said and destroyed all the people and animals, how is it that I hear sheep bleating and oxen lowing?" Saul stammered and began to make excuses. "Well, the people saved the best animals to sacrifice to the Lord, but we destroyed the rest." But Saul couldn't get by with that answer, and soon the truth came out. He admitted, "Yes, I know God said to destroy all the people, but I spared King Agag, and the people kept the best of the spoil, sheep, oxen, and lambs, but it was for a good cause to sacrifice to the Lord." Samuel wanted no more excuses. "Saul, Saul," he said, "when you were little in your own eyes, God promoted you to be king. Now you've become proud and disobeyed God and done your own way. You cannot be king anymore. God will raise up a new king who will obey him." "But," Saul protested, "I have obeyed. I did destroy the Amalekites. I just spared the king. I wanted to show my power over him. And the people saved the best spoil and the best animals to use for sacrifice. That wasn't my fault." He wouldn't take blame or responsibility for anything. And Samuel rebuked him. "Saul, think. Would the Lord rather receive burnt offerings and fake worship or simple obedience to his voice? You know it's better to obey God rather than sacrifice for disobeying him. Remember, rebellion is as bad as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as iniquity and idolatry. You have disobeyed God's word, you can no longer be king. Saul was caught in his sin and began to beg, I have sinned. I was afraid and listened to the people. I did what they wanted me to do. I'm sorry. Go with me to worship the Lord. No, Samuel said, I won't go with you. You rejected God's word, so God has rejected you from being king. As Samuel turned to leave, he grabbed the bottom of his cloak and it tore, a sign that God had taken the kingdom from Saul. God will not repent or lie. He is not a man who needs to repent. Saul cared more about what the people thought of him than what God thought. Again he begged, Yes, I have sinned, but honor me before the people. Let me return with you to worship God. Samuel allowed Saul to go and worship, but that was not the end. Saul had left a job unfinished, and Samuel remembered God's word. He commanded, Bring out Agag, the Amalekite king. Agag trembled and came softly, hoping that Samuel would be lenient. But Samuel acted quickly, killed Agag, and chopped him in pieces. Judgment had fallen. At last, God's word had been obeyed. Samuel went back to Ramah and never saw Saul again. But Samuel was sad about Saul's rebellion, and the Lord regretted ever making him king. Saul could have had honor and a wonderful ministry to God's people, but his pride and rebellion and disobedience brought him to disgrace. As Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Fine words about loving or praising God won't substitute for plain obedience to his word. As the song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And now, God bless you until next week.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.